Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be diving into Davenport psychology and how they approach mental wellness.
Okay.
So we have this excerpt that breaks down their services.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to hear what you think about it, especially since, you know, we've been talking about how you've been looking for some tangible ways to boost your well-being.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point, you know. A lot of times I feel like mental health advice can feel kind of vague.
Right.
Yeah. But what I noticed about Davenport is they really emphasize this holistic and personalized approach.
Yeah. Yeah. Their why choose us section.
Mm-hmm.
They really highlight that. But honestly, doesn't every mental health service these days say that they're personalized?
I think you're right. You're right. It's definitely become like kind of a buzzword in the industry.
Yeah.
but here's what seems different about Davenport. They don't just say, you know, personalized treatment plans and leave it at that. They really break down a whole range of services. So you have individual therapy, couples counseling, family therapy, group sessions, and then even specialized care for things like trauma.
Wow.
And so that really tells me that they're recognizing that personalized means, you know, more than just kind of tweaking a generic plan, right? It's about having the right tools for your specific situation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I guess, like, you know, if you're learning to cook, a personalized plan could mean a lot of different things.
Right.
Right. Like just tweaking a recipe, or it could mean like, you know, getting one-on-one lessons with a chef, depending on your skill level.
Exactly. Exactly. And in the mental health world, I think that variety is really crucial.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it, the challenges that we all face are just as diverse as we are as people.
So let's unpack some of these services a bit.
Okay.
Individual therapy seems pretty self-explanatory, but what I'm intrigued by is this group therapy aspect.
Yeah.
What does that actually look like in practice?
Yeah.
Is it just like a bunch of people sitting around, like, venting about their day?
I think it's definitely more structured than that.
Okay.
So think of it as like a collaborative learning environment, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you're struggling with stress management.
Uh-huh.
I know you've mentioned that. That's something that you want to work on.
Yeah.
So in a group setting, you might be, you know, learning relaxation techniques, things like mindfulness or deep breathing exercises, alongside other people who are also trying to master those same skills.
Okay.
And you have a facilitator there, right? Someone who's guiding the discussion, helping you identify your triggers, and maybe even doing some role playing to help you practice those techniques.
Uh-huh.
in like real life scenarios.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about like learning the techniques, but you get to see how other people apply them.
Right.
And like kind of share your struggles and realize you're not alone in this.
Exactly. Exactly. And that sense of community, I think, can be incredibly powerful,
yeah,
especially for those who are, you know, maybe feeling isolated or like their struggles are unique to them when in reality they're not.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like the difference between reading a self-help book and then actually attending like a workshop on it.
Right.
You get that real-time interaction and support.
Exactly. And that support can be really crucial, especially when we're talking about the benefits of therapy, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, sometimes those benefits can feel a bit intangible.
Definitely.
Right? Like improve mental health. What does that even mean in a day-to-day sense?
Okay, yes. Let's get into the benefits.
Okay.
So they highlight improved mental health, enhanced self-awareness, better relationships, stress management, and long-term coping strategies.
Yeah.
I love how this section really speaks to those tangible takeaways. But like you said, I need to see the how, not just the what.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's take enhanced self-awareness as an example.
Okay.
So you've mentioned before that you feel like you're kind of stuck in certain thought patterns.
Yeah.
Right. So through therapy, you'd start to kind of dissect those patterns, understand their origins and recognize how they impact your choices.
Uh-huh.
It's like suddenly being able to see the code that's running in the background of your mind.
Oh, wow.
Right. Instead of just experiencing the output on the screen.
That's a really powerful image.
Yeah.
So it's not just about feeling better, but understanding the WHY behind your feelings and actions.
Precisely. And that understanding can be incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
Because it gives you choices, right? Yeah. You're no longer just reacting, you're responding with awareness.
I like that.
Yeah.
So self-awareness becomes kind of the foundation for all these other benefits, like better relationships and stress management.
Exactly. So let's say, you know, you're constantly snapping at your partner.
Uh-huh.
Right? Increased self-awareness might help you realize that it's not actually about them.
No.
It's your own anxiety manifesting in that way.
Oh, wow.
Right. And so that awareness allows you to actually address the root cause, the anxiety, mm-hmm. rather than just the symptom, which is the snapping.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. It's like treating the infection, not just the fever.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And that brings us to stress management.
Okay.
So, you know, you've talked about feeling overwhelmed with your workload.
Yeah.
Therapy can really help you kind of dissect that overwhelm, identify what's truly causing the stress,
mm-hmm.
and then develop personalized coping mechanisms to deal with it.
Okay.
So that might involve time management techniques, boundary setting strategies, or even exploring those deeper thought patterns that are contributing to feeling overwhelmed in the first place.
So it's not just about like calming down in the moment. It's about equipping yourself to like handle stress differently in the future.
Exactly. And that's where the long-term coping strategies come in.
Okay.
So therapy really equips you with a toolbox full of techniques to navigate challenges, right?
Uh-huh.
So you learn to recognize your triggers, manage your emotions, and communicate your needs effectively.
Okay.
And these are skills that can benefit every aspect of your life.
It's like learning to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Once you master the skill, mm-hmm. you can navigate any terrain with confidence.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
So with all these benefits in mind, how does someone actually take that first step?
Right.
It can feel really daunting sometimes.
Yeah, totally. So Davenport actually breaks down the getting started process pretty clearly.
Huh.
They talk about, you know, reaching out, which I know can be like the hardest part.
Yeah.
But what happens after you make that initial contact?
So typically you would have an initial assessment.
Okay.
So think of it as like a getting to know you session between you and the therapist.
Okay.
You'll discuss your concerns, you know, your goals for therapy and what you're hoping to achieve.
Mm.
And it's also a chance for the therapist to get a sense of your personality and determine, you know, which approach might be most beneficial for you.
So it's like a two-way interview, making sure that you're both on the same page.
Exactly. And finding the right therapist is absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
The therapeutic relationship is really key to success.
Okay. So what happens after that initial assessment?
So based on the information that's gathered during that assessment, the therapist will develop a customized plan for you.
Okay.
And this is where that personalized approach really shines,
uh-huh.
right? So the plan is really tailored to your specific needs and goals.
Hmm.
And that ensures that you're getting the most relevant and effective support possible.
So it's not like a one size fits all approach.
Not at all. And finally, you know, once you have that plan in place, you can begin therapy.
Yeah.
And it's the start of a journey towards a healthier, more fulfilling you.
That's a great way to put it, a journey. And it sounds like Davenport is really committed to providing the right map and compass for each individual embarking on that journey.
I think you're right. You know, their emphasis on a diverse range of services and that commitment to personalized care really suggests that they're truly trying to meet people where they are.
Okay, so we've covered the range of services offered by Davenport, how their personalized approach really sets them apart.
Right.
We've explored the tangible benefits of therapy, going beyond just like the vague promises to actually see how things like self-awareness and stress management actually play out in real life.
Yeah, but there's another aspect we haven't touched on yet, and that is the social and cultural barriers that often prevent people from seeking help in the first place.
You're talking about the stigma surrounding mental health.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. That's a big one, and it's definitely something we need to discuss.
Yeah.
But first, I think we need to take a quick pause. We'll be back in a moment to delve into that topic and explore how we can collectively challenge those really harmful perceptions.
Sounds good.
So welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about Davenport's approach to mental health and how they really seem to, like, tailor their services to the individual.
Yeah.
But now I kind of want to shift gears a bit. You know, we've been diving deep into into all the benefits of therapy, but let's be real, there's still a lot of stigma surrounding mental health.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you're totally right. Even though we are like having more open conversations these days, mm-hmm. there's still like a sense of shame or fear that prevents a lot of people from actually like seeking help.
Yeah, it's like this invisible barrier.
Yeah.
That keeps people from like admitting that they need support.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of it comes from people not fully understanding what therapy even entails. So
right.
So before we like tackle the stigma head on, mm-hmm. I think it's worth maybe unpacking the different types of therapy a bit more.
I think that's a great point. You know, just like Davenport offers this range of services, the world of therapy itself is incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
It's not a one-size-fits-all approach by any means.
Okay, so let's break it down then. So we know there's individual therapy, uh-huh. couples counseling, family therapy, and group therapy. What are some of the key distinctions, and how do you know which one is right for you?
Yeah, well, individual therapy is often kind of the foundation, right? And it's pretty much what it sounds like. You know, it's you working one-on-one with a therapist to really explore your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors.
Mm-hmm. It's a safe space to really unpack personal issues, mm-hmm. Develop coping mechanisms, and gain a deeper understanding of yourself.
So it's like having a personal trainer for your mind.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Okay.
Now couples counseling, on the other hand, really focuses on the dynamics between two people in a romantic relationship.
Okay.
It provides a structured environment to really improve communication, address conflicts, and ultimately strengthen the bond between partners.
So it's not just for couples who are like on the brink of a breakup.
No, not at all.
It's for any couple that wants to build a healthier, more filling relationship.
Exactly. And then you have family therapy,
okay.
which as the name suggests, involves, you know, multiple family members.
Yeah.
It recognizes that each person plays a role in the overall family system.
Mm-hmm.
And it aims to, you know, address communication breakdowns, you know, resolve conflicts and create a more harmonious environment for everyone involved.
It's a way to like untangle those messy family dynamics that we all experience from time to time.
Precisely. And then finally you have group therapy.
Okay.
Which we touched upon a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this involves a small group of people who are facing similar challenges, right?
Uh-huh.
Guided by a therapist.
Okay.
And this offers a really unique opportunity to connect with other people.
Yeah.
You know, share experiences and learn from one another's journeys.
So it's like a support group with a therapeutic twist.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So we have all these different types of therapy, but I'm curious, like within each of those categories, are there different approaches or techniques that therapists use?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a wide range of therapeutic approaches.
Okay.
Each with its own kind of theoretical framework and set of techniques.
Uh-huh.
So for example, you have cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT. And this approach really focuses on identifying and changing negative thought patterns that contribute to emotional distress.
Uh-huh.
It's very action oriented.
Okay.
And it often involves homework assignments to help people practice new skills.
So it's like rewiring your brain software to respond differently to challenges.
Exactly. Then you have psychodynamic therapy.
Okay.
And this delves into your past experiences and unconscious patterns,
uh-huh.
To really understand how they might be shaping your present behavior.
Okay.
It's more insight oriented.
Okay.
And aims to really uncover the root causes of your emotional struggles.
So it's like an archaeological dig into your psyche.
Yeah.
Uncovering those hidden artifacts that are influencing your present.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And there are many other approaches as well.
Yeah.
Things like mindfulness-based therapy, humanistic therapy, and so on. Mm. But the key here is to really find a therapist who uses an approach that resonates with you and aligns with your goals for therapy.
Okay, so it's not just about choosing the type of therapy. It's about finding the right approach.
Yeah.
And the right therapist.
Right.
That sounds like a lot to consider.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who's feeling a little overwhelmed by by all these options?
I think first and foremost, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Okay.
When you're reaching out to potential therapists, you know, inquire about their approach, their experience. You know, what do they specialize in?
It's like you're interviewing them to see if they're a good fit for your mental health journey.
Exactly. And don't feel pressured to commit to the first therapist you speak with.
Oh, okay.
It's perfectly okay to, you know, shop around and have consultations with a few different therapists to really find someone that you feel comfortable with. Because at the end of the day, the therapeutic relationship is a partnership, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
You need to feel safe, you need to feel understood, you need to feel supported by your therapist.
Yeah.
So trust your gut instinct.
Yeah.
If something feels off,
uh-huh,
it's okay to keep looking.
Okay. That's really important advice.
Mm-hmm.
So we've covered like the different types of therapy, the various approaches, the importance of finding the right therapist.
Uh-huh.
But even with all this information, there's still that lingering question of stigma.
Right.
How do we break down those barriers that prevent people from seeking help?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, and unfortunately, there's no easy answer.
Yeah.
But I think it starts with changing the narrative around mental health.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we need to stop treating mental health as something separate from overall health, right?
Okay.
It's not a weakness. It's not a character flaw. It's just like any other aspect of our well-being.
Okay.
That requires care and attention.
So it's about like normalizing the conversation.
Yeah.
Making it okay to talk about mental health challenges just as openly as we talk about physical ailments.
Exactly. We need to create a culture where people feel comfortable seeking help.
Yeah.
You know, without fear of judgment or shame.
But how do we actually do that? It feels like such a big like systemic issue.
It is a big issue, but that doesn't mean we're powerless.
Okay.
We can all contribute to change even in small ways.
Uh-huh.
So for example, we can be mindful of the language we use.
Okay.
Avoiding stigmatizing terms and phrases.
Okay.
We can educate ourselves about mental health, you know, learn about the different conditions, the available treatments, and how to support someone who might be struggling.
Okay. So it's about like awareness, education, and compassion.
Exactly. And we can also advocate for policies that prioritize mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, support organizations that are working to reduce stigma and even share our own stories to help break down those walls of silence.
Because ultimately, the more we talk about it,
the
less power stigma has, right?
Absolutely. And remember, seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness.
Yeah.
It takes courage to acknowledge your struggles and reach out for support.
That's a powerful message to end on.
Yeah.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, exploring, you know, the diverse world of therapy, the importance of finding the right fit,
mm-hmm.
and the steps that we can all take to dismantle the stigma surrounding mental health.
Yeah, but our deep dive isn't over yet. There's mm-hmm. there's one more crucial aspect we need to explore, and that's the how-to of getting started on your own mental wellness journey.
Yeah. Okay. So stay tuned as we delve into the practical steps that you can take to prioritize your mental health and access the support that you deserve. We'll be right back after a quick break.
All right. Welcome back to our deep dive into mental wellness. So we've explored all the different types of therapy out there. We talked about how important it is to find the right therapist for you. We even talked about the stigma surrounding mental health. But now let's get to the practical stuff.
Okay.
If you're ready to take that first step towards prioritizing your mental health, where do you even begin?
That's a really great question. And it's one that I get asked a lot. You know, it can feel really overwhelming, especially with so much information out there.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, remember how Davenport psychology really emphasizes that personalized approach?
Right.
That same principle applies to starting your own journey, right?
Yeah. There's no single right way to do this. It's really about finding what resonates with you and what feels aligned with your needs and your goals.
Okay, I love that. Meeting you where you are.
Yeah.
But even with that flexibility, mm-hmm. are there any like general steps or guidelines that can kind of help people navigate this process?
Absolutely. So think of it like setting out on on a hike.
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't just start walking aimlessly.
Right.
You'd have a destination in mind. You'd have a map to guide you, and you'd have the proper gear to kind of support you along the way.
Right.
And the same goes for your mental wellness journey.
Okay, I'm liking this analogy.
Sure.
So what's the first step on this mental wellness hike?
Well, just like choosing a hiking trail, I think the first step is to get really clear on your why.
Okay.
You know, what are your reasons for wanting to prioritize your mental health?
Mm-hmm.
What are you hoping to gain or achieve through this journey?
So it's not just about feeling better in a general sense. It's about identifying specific goals, like improving your relationships or managing stress more effectively, or maybe even just like understanding yourself a bit better.
Exactly. And having that clear sense of purpose, I think it will not only guide your choices, but it also keep you motivated along the way, especially when things get challenging, which they will inevitably.
Right, because inner work can be tough.
Absolutely.
So once you've got your why figured out, what's next? Mm-hmm. Do you just Google like therapist near me?
Well, that's certainly one way to start, but remember what we talked about.
Yeah.
The importance of finding the right therapist for you.
Right.
Someone that you feel comfortable with and who really aligns with your needs.
Yeah.
You know, just like you wouldn't choose a hiking buddy randomly.
Right.
You want someone who's gonna support you, who's gonna challenge you, and who's ultimately gonna help you, you know, reach your destination.
Okay. So let's say you've done your research. Maybe you've had a few consultations and you've found a therapist who feels like a good fit. What happens next? Is it just like show up and spill your guts?
Well, it's a bit more structured than that. Typically the first few sessions are really about gathering information.
Okay.
You know, establishing goals and really building that therapeutic relationship.
Right.
So the therapist will ask you about your history, you know, your current challenges and what you're hoping to achieve through therapy. And it's really like creating that personalized map for your journey.
So it's a collaborative process, right?
Yeah.
It's not just the therapist dictating what you need to do.
Exactly. And once you have that shared understanding, then the real work begins, right?
Yeah.
Therapy is an active process. It's not just lying on a couch and talking about your childhood. You know, it often involves learning new skills, challenging ingrained patterns, and really stepping outside of your comfort zone.
It sounds like it can be both challenging and rewarding at the same time.
I think that's a great way to put it. You know, it's like any journey worth taking. There will be moments of frustration. There will be moments of discomfort. There will even be setbacks along the way.
Right.
But there will also be these moments of insight, of growth, and of really profound transformation.
So what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out on this journey? You know, maybe feeling a bit apprehensive or unsure.
Well, I think first and foremost, be patient with yourself.
Okay.
You know, change takes time, and there will be, as I said, ups and downs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to ask questions, express your doubts or concerns, and really advocate for your needs throughout the process. And remember, you know, you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
There are countless resources available,
yeah,
you know, both online and in your community, to really support you on this journey.
That's such an important reminder.
Yeah.
And speaking of resources, I know you're a big advocate for preventative mental health care.
Yes.
Are there things that people can do proactively, even if they're not currently in therapy, to kind of nurture their mental well-being?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, think of it like maintaining your physical health.
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't wait until you were sick to start eating healthy or exercising, right? Same goes for your mental health.
Okay.
There are countless things that you can incorporate into your daily routine to build resilience, to manage stress,
okay,
and to really foster emotional well-being.
Okay, give us some examples. What are some of those mental wellness habits that you recommend?
Well, for starters, you know, prioritizing sleep.
Okay.
Regular exercise,
uh-huh,
and a balanced diet. These mm-hmm. these things can have a huge impact on your mood and your energy levels.
Okay.
And don't underestimate the power of just simple practices.
Okay.
Like mindfulness. journaling,
okay,
spending time in nature, yeah, or engaging in hobbies that bring you joy.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's really about cultivating habits that nourish your mind, your body, and your soul.
So it's not about like overhauling your entire life.
Right.
It's about incorporating those small, sustainable changes.
Exactly. And remember, there's no one size fits all approach, right?
Yeah.
What works for one person might not work for another. It's really about finding, you know, what resonates with you, what fits into your lifestyle, and what brings you a sense of peace and well-being.
I love that. It's all about personalization. Coming back to that core theme that we've been exploring this whole deep dive.
Yes. And ultimately, it's about recognizing that mental wellness is a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a destination. You know, it's about continuously learning, growing, evolving, embracing the ups and the downs along the way, and always striving to be the best, most authentic version of yourself.
That's a really beautiful message to leave our listeners with.
Yeah.
So we've covered a lot of ground today, from understanding all the different types of therapy and finding the right therapist to tackle the stigma, yeah, and taking those first steps towards prioritizing your mental well-being.
And remember, no matter where you are in your journey, there is always support available.
Yeah.
You know, don't hesitate to reach out, ask for help, and prioritize your mental health.
Right.
You deserve to thrive.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and feel empowered to embark on your own path towards mental wellness.
Yeah.
Until next time, take care of yourselves.
Yeah.